Well, good morning to you. It's my pleasure to open God's Word with you today. And I pray today that as we look into this portion of Scripture in the book of Revelation, chapter 2 and chapter 3, that we'll learn so many lessons and what God is doing through His church today. We're glad to have you online at the Warrington campus, and we're excited that what God is doing there, having 260 come to worship last week in Warrington. Our first Easter at Warrington. So we praise God. Yes, let's praise God for what He's doing on the west side of town. In the book of Revelation that Pastor is speaking about, we come to chapter 2 and chapter 3. The Apostle John writes to seven churches of Asia Minor. He writes to seven churches, and today I entitled this message, Dear Church. Dear Church. And I pray today as we look into Scripture that we will be challenged. We read in the book of Matthew chapter 16, Jesus said, I will build my church. You notice that? No, Jesus delegates many of the ministry to His disciples, but the building of the church, He does. He said, I will build my church. He did not delegate that responsibility to anyone because no one qualified the cross. It was Jesus Christ who qualified the cross, and after His death, His burial, and resurrection, we have the church that is birthed. He said, I will build my church. And many of you today may wonder, what is the church? What is the church? Well, you and I agree, it's a people, it's not a place. It's a people, it's not a building. And I try to put a definition to what a church is. A church is a gathering of people purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ, growing together in grace. The church is a gathering of people purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ, growing together in grace. I am growing. Pastor is growing. You are growing. With all our trials and with all our pain and all our struggles, we are growing. And we are a community that helps one another to grow. Hebrews chapter 10 talks about, let us spur one another on. Let us encourage one another. Notice the King James Version. Let us not neglect the gathering of saints. So the church is a gathering of people who are purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. And if you're here, and if you are here today, not knowing whether you are purchased, please come and talk to us, because let me remind you, the Word of God teaches us that the blood of Jesus Christ is just sufficient for you, and it still flows from Calvary's cross. We want you to be a part of this family, this gathering we call the church. So welcome to the gathering here at Olive Baptist Church. Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 25 teaches us, Christ loved the church and gave Himself up for her. He loved the church and He gave Himself up for her. Christ gave everything He had. He gave everything He had. He died. He rose again. He seated at the right hand of God the Father, right now interceding on our behalf as we come to worship. So what is the church? The church is a gathering of people who have been bought by the blood of Jesus Christ, growing together in grace. You are not going to find a perfect church. We have a perfect Savior. If you find a perfect church, please don't go there. You will make it imperfect. We are just growing. We are growing and we're learning each day. So we came today to grow together in Jesus Christ. As iron sharpens iron, we are here to grow. You help me to be more patient. You help me to be more long-suffering. You help me to rejoice. You help me. You bring that joy to my life and Deshni's life. So I love the local church. I believe that the local church is God's means of carrying the gospel to the ends of the earth. The local church is working through the avenue of the local church. And in this body that He said, I will build my church, and He gave His life for the church, Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 15 and following, the verse will be on the screen, reminds us that he is the head of the church. Jesus Christ is the head of the church. Let me read for you these few verses from Colossians chapter 1, and then we'll go into the book of Revelation. Colossians 1:15 reads, "He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him." Verse number 17. "And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. And you, who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach to him, before him. If indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, became a minister." I love that portion of scripture. We can sit here the entire year just digesting those words. He is the head of the church. He is the boss of the church. He has purchased the church. And let me remind you, we sang the song, he is coming back again for his church. He's not coming back for any other institution. He is coming back for his bride. He's coming back for his church. And I believe, as I said, the church, the local church, is a means of carrying the gospel throughout the entire world. And be sure that Jesus knows what's happening in his church. He knows. No wonder scripture reminds us, he neither slumber nor sleeps. He is our great shepherd, watching over his church. The church was established so that the amen can be sung. And today the words that we sang, let the amen sound from his people again. And I pray as we look into God's word, the amen of his church will sound again. And we will rejoice in who he is. This love that Jesus had for his church is not a sit down and talk about it love. It's a get up and do something about it love. Because he left his father and came down to die. So he didn't talk about the church. He didn't talk about this great idea about the church. Jesus got up, came down to earth, lived a sinful life, died a criminal's death, rose again on the third day, now seated at the right hand of God the Father, interceding for his church. The church is powerful. The church displays the glory of Christ. The church is an outpost of light to a dying world. The church is a red door of refuge. I have a friend who started a church in Cincinnati, and he named the church Red Door. I asked him, is it by Elizabeth Arden? He said, no. He said, Red Door. I said, why a red door? He said, a red door throughout history is a door of refuge. Whenever you saw a red door, you will run to that door because the red door will be open. I pray that our church and the churches of today will be the red door, a place of refuge to a dying and hurting world. The church of Jesus Christ. So we come to the book of Revelation chapter 1. I'll read verse number 19 and verse number 20. This is what it says. Well, I'll read verse number 17 and give us some context. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying, fear not. Fear not. I'm the first and the last, and the living one. I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and Hades. Write therefore the things that you have seen, those that are and those that are to take place after this. Revelation 1:20. As for the mystery of the seven stars that you saw in my right hand, and the seven golden lampstands, the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands are the seven churches. In Asia Minor, throughout, although there's just seven churches, there's more churches in Asia Minor, but God chose to send this group of letters to these seven churches in Asia Minor. It was more geographical. So the messenger carried the first letter to Ephesus, and he traveled north. You look at the map, Asia Minor. From north, he came down south, delivering all these letters to the local churches. These churches were outposts in Asia Minor. You look at all the cities. There were seaports. They had business, and they had good medical facilities. So the gateway to the world was probably through these seven cities in Asia Minor. And look at location, location, location. You plant a church where the people gathers and where that city can be an influence. And so these churches were planted, and the messenger will take the letters to them. The majority of the congregation of these churches in Asia Minor were second generation. It was the past 50 years after all that has happened and the church has taken place. So we have the first generation people worshiping and the second generation people worshiping. Notice this John who wrote the book of Revelation, he was an elder at the church of Ephesus. He was arrested by Domitian and then sent to the Isle of Patmos where he is writing from. So imagine this is an elder writing the words of Jesus Christ to the very church that he was the pastor of. And there's some harsh words that John has to write to the very church that he was the elder of. These seven churches. And this letter that he's writing to them. And after the greeting of the letter, you read in to the angel, chapter 2 and verse 1. To the angel of the church in Ephesus, write. After the greeting, you will notice the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks among the seven golden lampstands. Chapter 2, verse number 2, I know your works. In seven letters, there is seven I know. It reminds us that Jesus knows what's happening in these churches. That's very sobering. Jesus knows what's happening in these churches. He's taking account of what's happening in his churches. And if he knows what we are doing, he knows the good, the bad, and the ugly. He is in the deacons' meetings. He is in every meeting that you have. He is in every connection group that we have, because he says, I know. I know. And these letters that in chapter 2 and chapter 3, he commends them. There's a commendation. He's like, well done. You're doing well. Then there's a complaint, but hold on. And then there's a correction. You must. Jesus gives the words to John to write, commend the church, and show them my complaint, and then bring them to correction. I believe that these seven churches of Asia Minor, the lessons from these churches of Asia Minor is throughout church history. Until today and furthermore. This message is for the churches that are planted from Asia Minor throughout the world, present day and the days to come. These lessons. Cornerstone today, the church will be planted in Norwich, Connecticut, celebrating 10 years. And they asked me to write a letter, so I wrote the letter, Dear Church. I commended them. You just can't correct them on the 10th anniversary, can you? It's like when they come to 15 years, then start correcting them, you know? But it was very personal to write, Dear Church. I want you today to look at this three concerns I have over the modern day church today. As lessons learned from this church, we have the church that lost its first love, we have a compromising church, we have a lukewarm church, and everything else in this chapter 2 and chapter 3. Let's go. My first concern, what the lessons I learned from these churches, is number one, a casual gathering. A casual gathering. Notice, we said that a church is a gathering of people. The first concern I have is a casual gathering. Notice the generations that followed the original first members of the church in Asia Minor. The second generation after them lost their zeal for God. It took one generation of people to lose their zeal and passion for King Jesus. That's an area for concern. It's a casual gathering. I'll tell you why the second generation has lost that zeal. It's because familiarity causes us to lose our awe of God. Familiarity has causes us to lose our awe of God. As human beings, we were created to live in the awe of God. And I am concerned, there's a danger that we have become so familiar with the gospel message that God became boring to us. You see, the second generation in the church of Ephesus and following all those churches, they lost their zeal for God because they were familiar and they became bored with God. What once stunned them about God doesn't anymore. What produced them to worship and draw their hearts to worship doesn't anymore. What caused them to act and hope in courage doesn't anymore. What caused us to say no to sin and yes to righteousness doesn't anymore. I'm afraid that we have lost the awe of God, and God became boring to us because we know and too familiar of the good old gospel story. And when you become bored with the gospel message of Jesus Christ, your faith becomes a casual faith. Your faith becomes a faith of no depth. Can you imagine the second generation Christians lost their awe of God? A casual faith. And let me remind you, my friends, when we lose sight of our seriousness of sin, we began to lose sight of the thrill of righteousness and forgiveness. When you and I forget that we are forgiven people, it takes away the thrill of forgiveness. You see, when you come to know Jesus Christ, your standing before God is made right. Salvation transports you to heaven. Sanctification transforms you on earth. You and I should come to the house of God rejoicing. The psalmist said, let us rejoice when we go to the house of God. Why? So we can repent. Because every house of God has an altar. And we can say, Father, praise you that you have sent Jesus for me and forgiven me of my sins. The church is a gathering of a repenting people. But if you want to choose to live a casual faith, you will forget you're a sinner. And when you forget you're a sinner, you will forget your Savior, and worship will be boring to you. A.W. Tozer said, if worship is boring to you, then you're not ready for heaven. Because that's all you're going to do. The church in Ephesus and the following church in Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3, the latter is going out and is reminding that for whoever lacks these qualities are so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten what has cleansed you from your previous walk and life. Peter reminds us in 2 Peter. You see, when God is calling you and I, he's calling us not to have a casual faith. He's calling us to have a deep faith. He's calling us to have a radical faith. He's calling us to have a transformational faith, not a casual faith. This love that Jesus talks about is not a sit down and talk about it. This love he talks about, we need to get up and do something about it kind of love. Won't you agree with me? The modern day church has a casual faith. We have forgotten how we trust God. We have forgotten the discipline of fasting and prayer. We have forgotten how to rejoice. We have forgotten all these things because we have lost sight of the very fact that we are sinners bought by the blood of Jesus, struggling and growing together in grace. A casual faith. Jesus did not come to live a casual life, die a casual death, so you and I can live a casual faith. He came to live a radical life, die a radical death, so that the church can be radical in a dying world. You and I, if you want to be a casual gathering, you and I cannot reach the world being casual. And he says, I know your works. The church in Ephesus, they were so busy, but they were busy and had the wrong motivation. They were so busy doing things that they were not loving God. So work for God must be motivated by our love for God. Imagine that. Work for God must be motivated by a love for God. And John is writing this letter to the first letter is to Ephesus, where he used to be the pastor. And he's writing this letter, oh, I know your good deeds, but you have forgotten your first love. And if God is writing a letter to Olive Baptist Church today, dear church, I love what you are doing, but I just want you to stop and love me. Jesus wants to speak to the local church, and the local church is an agent that could change the world if you return to love Jesus. In the modern day church, the way we do church should never trump why we do church. When you forget why you do church, you'll have a casual faith. And that casual faith, you just want to cruise along. I don't want to be on a cruise ship, I told you. I want to be on a battleship. We have a Great Commission battleship, and we want you to join today. We want to change the world for Jesus Christ. And that cannot happen with a casual faith. My friend Mark Clifton at the North American Mission Board wrote a book called Reclaiming Glory. This is what he said, and I quote, when you hear these words, we've never done it that way before. He said, that's a death declaration to the church. Oh, we have never done it that way before. That there is a death declaration to the church. We got to do things we never did before to reach people we never did before. That's a local church. We must learn to be uncomfortable in the world. We must learn to stand up. Stand up strong in this world. And come whatever storm, the church of Jesus Christ will stand up. But if you have a casual faith, you will hide. I don't think the world needs a hiding church today. The world needs a proclamation church today. And we need to stand tall. You're at Warrington. Stand tall and shine bright the gospel of Jesus Christ in Warrington. Stand tall and shine bright the gospel of Jesus Christ. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, the German, he wrote this. We need to allow ourselves to be interrupted by God. I pray that you will pray this prayer today. Lord, please interrupt my casual faith. And help me to return to the days when I did not leave the home before I prayed. Help me to return to the place where I trusted you for my light bulb. Help me to return to a place where I will give you thanks and praise for all that I have and what my children have and what my grandchildren have. We have forgot to praise God. We have forgot to trust God. And I'm talking about the second generation church in Ephesus. And Jesus is reminding the churches in Asia Minor, I know to the 46,000 Southern Baptist churches, Jesus is saying, I know. I know. You cannot have a casual faith. Please do not be familiar with the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the power to change lives. Yes, you believe, and you today you believe. If you believe, be drawn closer to Him. If you don't believe, please come to know Him. Come to know Him. Life transformation is a hunger and thirst for righteousness, and that does not come from a casual faith. It comes from a radical faith. Did you know that regular church attendance today is just once or twice a month? So when people tell you, well, I regularly attend church, what they're telling you is, I attend once or twice a month. So if you attend once or twice a month, how can you have deep relationships? You can't. You see what the enemy does? He isolates you from the body of Christ. Because he knows when the body of Christ gets together, the demons tremble when the local church sings the Amen. So today, everyone's busy. Busy doing ministry. When all God wants is your heart to love Him. My second concern, the first one is a casual faith from these seven churches of Asia Minor. Pastor is coming next week to go on Revelation chapter 4. Please don't miss next week. Second day is a compromising gathering. A compromising gathering. When you read about the seven churches of Asia Minor, I'm afraid today we have a lot of compromising churches. Compromise entertains sin and breeds corruption. Read 1 and 2 Corinthians, read about those seven churches in Asia Minor. Compromise entertains sin and breeds corruption. I want to encourage you, the gospel cannot be diluted. The gospel is the gospel. You cannot dilute the gospel message. It's not open for discussion. It is the word of God, the A and Amen. It is the word of God. And so many people come and ask me, so Sean, what do you think about this issue? Well, let's see what the word of God has to say about that issue. You will lose friends. You will lose family members. You will lose co-workers. But do not compromise the word of God. It's not open for discussion. It's open for obedience. Read the books, Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3. The church became a compromising church. Let me tell you, sand is good for many things, but sand is not good for a foundation. Matthew chapter 7. Don't be a compromising church. The church of Asia Minor, they began to compromise with pagan morality. They took the Bible away from the church. They have been accepting things of the world that Christ harbors. They are bringing things in the world that hurts Christ. And Christ said, I had enough, I know what you are doing. They were entertaining pagan gods, entertaining, practicing, and their behaviors so sinful that the presence of God was not there anymore. So I told you what the church of God is. It's a gathering of people bought by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, growing in grace. What the church is not, it's not an entertainment social club. It's not that. It's not that you bring your best ideas and we sing Kumbaya. That's not the church. The church of Jesus Christ is built on the firm foundation of His death, burial, and resurrection, so you and I can love one another, learn from His word, and change the world. Many churches, I had a church planter one day. He said, well, when I was working with North American Mission Board, well, we can't have our church service this next week. I said, why? He said, our smoke machine is not working. I was like, okay, what are you trying to do? Are you trying to have a puppet show or are you trying to have church? It's not entertainment, this church. Second generation Christians, and Pastor wrote a great article about the next generation on a magazine for the North American Mission Board. Let me remind you, church, that we are responsible to have a deep sense of the gospel, then we can send it to our next generation. We need to have the depth. We cannot compromise. Paul wrote to the church in Ephesus about marriage. He wrote about parenting. He wrote about communication. He wrote about anger. He wrote about the church and so on and so on. And he reminded the church in Ephesians chapter 6 that it is just one spiritual warfare. Am I right? Ephesians chapter 6 reads, "Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty strength. Put on the full armor of God." No compromise. There is no substitute for the shield of faith. There is no substitute for the sword of the Spirit. You cannot compromise the very foundation of how Jesus wants the church to grow. Because there's a great sense in the modern church today of a false conversion. There are many false conversions today, as in the books in Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3. So if you are in spiritual battle, do you use the spiritual weapons that God presents you? Or you want to fight your marriage in any other way? You won't praise God for the battles you're winning. Rather, you will blame God for the battles you are losing when you remove the Word of God. A compromising church, entertaining prostitutes, sexual immorality. Read about it in the Word of God, Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3. They have welcomed him, the evil spirit, into the church. Compromise. My friend, we cannot trust only in the White House. There's another house. It's called the house of prayer. We need to return to the house of prayer and ask the Lord to guide us. We don't have a situation room. We have a prayer room. We will come on our knees and win this battle on our knees, because those he died for, he is sufficient to save. Don't compromise the truth. You want to build a church? Teach the truth. At Warrington, we want to teach the truth. It's a truth that surfaces above the rest of the world. The truth. That I am a sinner and I need to come to know Jesus Christ. That's truth. Don't candy coat the gospel. You do that with PB&J sandwiches. Not the gospel. I'm afraid today many people want to build a church on their foundation. I praise God for our pastor. Oh man, you want a preacher? You got a preacher. A faithful man of God with no compromise. Teach the Word of God. I know millennials are in this room. Times have changed, cultures have changed. The gospel didn't change. It's the same Jesus who died. It's the same Jesus who rose from the dead. It's the same Jesus seated at the right hand of God the Father. There is no other Jesus in skinny jeans and living for this culture and comrade. There's one Jesus, and he is enough. So life transformation is only through the unadulterated Word of God. Not open for discussion. The church. But number three is a confused gathering. A confused gathering. I'm going to use my time well and talk about the confused gathering. Friends, we must need to be reminded that God placed us in this church. You are here, and perhaps you didn't join a church before. Today is a good day to join a church, to come and join this church. You are here in God's purpose. We are here to pray for and love one another. We are here to proclaim and to teach the word one another. And we need to take the gospel to our neighbors. That's what Olive Baptist Church is all about. That's what we're all about. To develop fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. Warrington, that's what the Warrington campus is all about. To develop fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ, to love one another, and to change your neighborhood for the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's no other agenda at Olive. We just want to help you take your next step toward Christ. Is it salvation? Is it church membership? Is it baptism? That's what the church exists, to help you, to equip you, take your next step towards Christ. Everything about the gospel is refreshing. Everything about the gospel is life. Is life. Hypocrites professing to know Christ and truly don't belong to Him hurts the witness of Jesus. So the world is confused. Who's a Christian and who's not a Christian? We need to have a full display of what it is to be a blood-bought, Bible-believing, Christ-glorifying Christian in our neighborhood. We need to give a clear picture. The world is already lost. We don't need to confuse them. Okay? They're already lost. They don't need to see one faithful Christian, one terrible Christian. They come to the church, and there you are, greeting at the door. That's a confused gathering. The last church, Revelation chapter 3, the last part, he writes about the church of Laodicea. Laodicea was the most wealthy church. It was wealthy because of the banking trade and the extensive textile. They had a famous salve that you use on your eye from Laodicea. This church became so wealthy, they became inwardly focused. So the Bible calls them, you are so lukewarm because of the water running up north, coming down south. But by the time the cold spring water goes through the underground pipes and land at Laodicea, the water is lukewarm. So they're confused. They don't know whether they're hot. They don't know whether they're cold. They're just confused. All they know, we are a good group and got all the money. That church is a confused church. It's a confused gathering. The world cannot see that's the church of Christ because we close the doors to the outside world, the church of Laodicea. What a shame it will be if we are waiting for God to say something while God has been waiting for us to do something. What a shame it'll be that we are waiting with all the resources of God. Show us what to do. Show us what to do. We have all the resources and God is saying, just do something. Man, I'm glad Olive Baptist Church is a church on mission. I believe pastor's best days are ahead of him. Church, we are about to go on a roller coaster ride for the kingdom of God. And I'm signed up. I want to be excited to see where pastor is leading our church and how we can reach Pensacola and the rest of the world for Jesus Christ. But you and I cannot be a confused group. We need to have purpose. We need to have a mission. We need to have a vision. Or else you'll be confused. So what do I do? You'll be confused. Join up a connection group. Go and serve somewhere. Get to God. Get together. Get involved. Let's get our hands dirty so we can live for Jesus Christ. We cannot forget to ignore the very streets we drove by to Olive Baptist Church today. The needs that we have seen on our drive to church, we cannot ignore that. It's a need. And God is calling the church. Thriving churches are outward-focused churches, building bridges in the community, in the highways and byways. That's a thriving church. A confused church is the closed-door church. Asia Minor had some wonderful churches, but they were so casual, they were so compromising, and they were so confused. Revelation chapter 3 and verse number 20. Won't you look at that verse? Jesus, I said, died for the church. The church is His. Look at what the word Jesus says to the church. Verse number 20, chapter 3. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and eat with him, and he with me. The real context of that verse is this. Dear church, won't you please open the door? I am knocking to be invited into my own church.